Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and more special than the rest of us. In other words, amateurs. It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong. The speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day. The unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. Welcome to episode 95. Amateur Nation, always playing the short game. Fans first, want to do a shout out here to Pat Glover from Lake Cable, Ohio. Thanks for listening. Now, before we get started, here's a quick wear your mask at the gym update. For the second week in a row, the paramedics were on scene for a guy who passed out while wearing his mask at the gym. Except this time, he passed out in the locker room after he threw up all over the place due to dizziness and nausea. Puddles of puke, way less sanitary than water droplets that might reach my nose or mouth, right? And yes, that's only two times this has happened, but in 2 weeks. And when I happened to be there, after talking to another EMT at the gym, he said they're getting calls like this all the time. Safety first. Okay, now back to the title of this episode, Amateur Nation, always playing the short game. What is the short game? Well, in golf, for me anyway, it's the toughest part of the game. More pressure, more finesse needed, more precise measures to be taken. Control. Gotta be more careful, more relaxed, as opposed to the long game in golf, which is more about power, speed, and strength. However, when it comes to the social and political climate these days, the short game, I refer to in the title, is the amateurs and their "we want it now" thought process and taking the easy way out and doing this knee-jerk thing right now for the short-term attention and possible reward rather than putting in the real-time effort, discussion, and work needed for positive long-term effects and change. Now, as I often mention on this show, amateurs want it now. It's the point-click buy or click-and-download manner in which amateurs are trained to live and get everything in their lives from food to cars to friends, even love and sex. The short game in Amateur Nation makes you feel good for now and maybe for a day or so after, but usually nowhere near that long. And no real positive change is done, and if it does happen, it sure as hell doesn't last. How has rioting and destruction been working out for you, amateurs? Life getting better? Getting more money? Better education? Feel safer? Oh, not just yet? Okay, so when? When we're a socialist or communist nation and everyone is literally treated the same, as in, like, cattle and property and servants of the government? Lou, that won't happen in America. Why? Because that only happens in movies? Because that happens to other countries? Because we're America? Amateurs, this doesn't happen overnight. Okay? Pros know this. This has been a gradual movement, and now comes this full frontal attack and all chips are in push. You want to be woke, amateurs? Wake up to that. I want to thank the governors and mayors around the country that let out criminals in a lame excuse to prevent them from getting coronavirus. As many people expressed the sentiment on Facebook, if masks are so effective, why not just make all the prisoners wear masks rather than releasing them? And I'd also be curious to know exactly how many prisoners that have been released took part in the riots and are responsible for infecting others, killing others, injuring others, and causing more lockdowns and backtracking with closures due to the increase in coronavirus cases. Well done, leadership! Here's what's happening in Amateur Nation, topic number one. You know, there's very few times when I think to myself, when it comes to the topics on this show, oh, I can't believe this. This is one of those times I can't believe. I must have had to reread this a dozen times to make sure it wasn't fake news or clickbait or something like that. I checked it on many sources. Here's your headline from the New York Post. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people masks based on race. Equality, here we come! Sounds like a good idea, and perfect timing. What could go wrong? Excuse me, I have to throw gasoline on a fire that I have out back. Lincoln County, Oregon has exempted non-white people from a new order requiring that face coverings be worn in public to prevent racial profiling. Health officials announced last week residents must wear face coverings in public settings when they may come within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. But people of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have, quote, heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment over wearing the masks, officials said. The quote goes on to say, no person shall intimidate or harass people who do not comply, health officials said. I keep saying the word health official for a reason. Of course, it's in the article itself, but bear with me. Because health officials should handle that type of human behavior. That has to do with health and public safety, right? That's a fucking joke. It seems like if you add the word official after anything, it's, well, more official. Your mail carrier is now a information transfer official. Your server at a restaurant, a food presentation official. I'm not a podcaster. I'm a podcast official. I'm not a comedian. I'm a humor official. The article says, with mask requirements becoming more common, activists have raised concerns that the directives could put non-white people in danger. But I thought we were all supposed to be equal. That would mean white people would be in danger then, right? Yes, I'm being sarcastic and facetious, but it deserves notice, consideration, and an answer. A real, logical, common sense answer. And by the way, there is none. So don't go digging. So masks were and supposedly are necessary, and social distancing and quarantining is necessary unless you're protesting. Then the virus doesn't have an effect. Or unless you're non-white. Wow, this virus is smart. Someone should weaponize it. Stat. Oh, wait, China already did that. The article goes on to say, for many black people, deciding whether or not to wear a bandana in public to protect themselves and others from contracting coronavirus is a lose-lose situation that can result in life-threatening consequences either way, said Renika Moore, director of the ACLU Racial Justice Program, telling CNN. Well, then I'm guessing those people should just stay home, right? The commercials that we're getting inundated with always say, whether you're sick or not, stay home. See, that makes it win-win. If they stay home, right? No racial profiling, no coronavirus. Safety first, right? Right? Isn't that what the quarantine and social distancing is all about? Oh, protesting for justice overrides public safety and health. Got it. Please let us pros know when and how and under what conditions the rules change. If health officials could make a website that gives minute-by-minute updates and in what location these updates and changes occur, that would be great. Maybe an app. Mask. Boom, done. And we know how much amateurs love apps and just clicking and getting what they want immediately. Trayvon Logan, who is black, said orders to wear face coverings are, quote, basically telling people to look dangerous given racial stereotypes that are out there. This is in the larger context of black men fitting the description of a suspect who has a hood on, who has a face covering on, Logan said, an economics professor at Ohio State University telling the outlet. It looks like almost every criminal sketch of any garden variety black suspect. Okay, I gotta stop you right there, professor. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that last sentence you just said, and I'm going to say it again, where he says, it looks like almost every criminal sketch of any garden variety black suspect. But that sentence sounded pretty fucking racist to me. Isn't the cornerstone of racism, regardless of the race, the premise that judging someone based on their appearance, especially without knowing them or at least getting context, that is on you, professor. What, you say most people judge this way? And because you're a professor, that makes you right? Fuck you, and fuck you. Stop. By the way, let's see if Black Lives Matter after November 4th, the same way they mattered during the last election. And don't have a knee-jerk reaction thinking that I don't care about my fellow man. I'm talking about being pandered to, of any race, jerked around, lied to, used, and manipulated just in time for the elections, no matter which way you vote. That should make you pretty mad, amateurs. That should make any person upset. No one likes to be patronized. Topic number two. Well, now that Aunt Jemima has been vilified and many of the big bad statues are down, I'd like to ask amateurs that support these actions to email me and explain, in detail, the tangible positive effects that have now taken place or expect to take place in their lives. More money, better job, less racial tension. I'm all ears. I'm not judging. I want answers. Here are some of the responses I've seen in social media videos. Things like, well, it's not about, you know, better jobs or more money, or it's about the message. It's about justice. It's about unity. It's about freedom. It's about other vague terms that sound impressive and powerful, that sound great on the surface but won't really change anything. Am I really to believe the rioters and people tearing down statues took time off their jobs, their careers, to do that? The poorest, least employed, least educated people, the least informed, are being used to overthrow America. That's who you want to speak for, you amateurs? Going back to my 30 truths about amateurs when it comes to the rioters, number 7, amateurs accuse first and ask no questions later. And number 10, amateurs hate to suffer alone. I remind you the same way that I said amateurs come in all races, religions, sexual orientations, political views, professions, ethnicities. Well, conversely, the only thing that makes an amateur, is his or her actions. And that's a good thing, by the way. People are ending friendships, often cowardly, via social media with as little as a click of the unfriend button, rather than having an adult conversation. I have plenty of friends who I know for a fact disagree with many of the things I say here and on my social media. But you know what? We still get along fine. We either don't talk about it, and not because either party is blind to the subject, but because we want to peacefully coexist and we respect each other's opinions. Or we simply give each other space to express our views. Respect is there. Courtesy is there. Adult behavior. Remember that? Everyone, myself included, has been given the young people grief. But if you're over 21, sorry, you're an adult, so act like it. Want to be noticed and taken seriously, especially politically and with social views? Stop throwing a temper tantrum. Enough with the copying and pasting and hashtagging. You might very well instill change, but you still will not get respect and noticed by the people who matter most, the pros. You know, people can disagree about ideologies, religion, politics, social policy in general, without being at each other's throats. That is exactly what America is all about. Differences, but respecting them. And should you lose a vote, lose an election, lose a social battle, or win any of those things, you do it with grace and dignity without throwing a fit. As long as people aren't having their rights infringed upon, there was never a problem. But when you destroy things and burn things and rip things down that are owned by the public or private sector, you now have infringed on rights and often committed a crime. That's not Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, atheist, agnostic, Christian, Muslim, or Hindu. That's common sense. That's humanity. And if you want to argue that, you've already lost. You can't claim to be woke and not be, that's how I say it, woke, and not be open to peaceful conversation and dialogue. And if you want change, you have to do it like a responsible, calm adult. With due process, go to City Hall, getting something on a ballot, and yes, voting. And if you lose, you lose. Either continue the peaceful fight against whatever it is you believe, or walk away graciously. And if you win, same thing. That's called life. You don't always get what you want, amateurs. Trust me, as a pro, I know this. Most pros know this. All pros know that. Your life won't be a perfect utopia once the statues and Aunt Jemima and Gone with the Wind are gone. Amateurs don't get to decide public policy. Pros do. Because pros work in common sense, manners, and good social skills. That's how change is made. Name a country where rioting, violence, anarchy, and chaos now has a thriving, positive, now peaceful existence. I'm waiting. As a child, regardless of how you were raised, unless you were raised by psychopaths, you know that it's wrong to break things that are not yours. You know that it's wrong to steal things or hurt someone unless it's in self-defense. Yes, of course, injustices occur despite those common sense rules, and those should be dealt with on a case-by-case basis, not by destroying the moral fabric of society or for your own agenda, no less. A fraction of the population gets sick and we shut down the country. A fraction of the population gets wrongfully murdered and we upend the Constitution and ignore the rights of law-abiding citizens. Sounds reasonable, rational, sane, safe, with long-term positive effects, he said sarcastically. You know, when I was in grade school, like many of us, every class had that one kid who would be constantly disruptive, and the teacher would say, "All right, enough, everyone put their heads down." Yes, it was a way to control a room full of hyperactive children. But when I was a kid, I would often get in trouble when I, of course, would ask the teacher, me being that kind of guy, "Why do we all have to be punished because of this guy?" That never really helped me. I never won that argument, but I get it. The teacher was thinking long term here, but it still holds true. Why are we all on punishment because a few people got sick? And I say few in relative to the rest of the world population. And we know those numbers. If you think those numbers are accurate, you're insane. You're insane. No way are those numbers accurate. How many posts on social media do you have to see? Look, you see a handful. That's one thing. I'm seeing hundreds of posts on all platforms of social media where health officials are telling us, they are making us falsify records. They are exaggerating the numbers. People have been tested and they get a positive result 3-4 times. We're also not being told if the people that died had these underlying health risks. I mean, are we still believing that masks work and are necessary? Come on. Come on. I wear mine in the grocery store because I need food. And when I check into the gym and that thing comes off, I wear it around underneath my chin. It's not that hard to figure out, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, I get it. Yes, of course, that virus is real. Yes, it is deadly, like other strains of the flu. This one is different, but it attacks the elderly or people who have underlying health conditions. I'm not saying that makes it okay, but no, I'm not wearing a mask because someone who has an underlying health condition is 6 feet away. Ain't happening. I would not expect that person to adjust their lifestyle for me regardless of my ailment. And I'm not coughing on people. And if you are of that group, you should be wearing the mask so you don't get coughed on. But the idea that we're getting messages all the time, even if you're healthy, stay home, that's insanity. I can't believe people subscribe to it. Masks have now become everyone's whoopee. They can't go anywhere without their little teddy bear sucking their thumb. They feel lost without it. You want proof? Find someone who's driving in a car alone or jogging with their mask on and they're not around anybody. That is all the proof you need. You literally might as well be wearing your shoes on your head or mittens on your feet. It's not helping. Yeah, but I know someone who died. Doesn't change anything. It's tragic. It's sad. I feel for you. But I've got a dozen friends who have had either died of cancer or know someone who has it, or they had it and fought back and won. What, because you know someone? Oh, that makes it personal? That makes it real now? That is selfish. That is the opposite of woke. I can't think of anything more self-centered. We're shutting down the world because a fraction of the population got sick. And, all of a sudden we let out prisoners because we didn't want them to get sick. Explain that. No, explain it. There's no logical reason, but your so-called leaders let that happen. You don't think for a second that a percentage of those criminals were not responsible for the riots and now infecting others? We all now have to go back to a stricter phase of quarantine because of these rioters and protesters went out without masks? Criminal. Criminal. And no, I don't think they should have been wearing masks anyway. But it doesn't mean that those people weren't infected. And yes, they are younger and they probably won't die. But they're holding up the works. They're fucking it up for the rest of us. We all have to be punished because one cop unjustly murdered another minority. Oh, I know there's been others. Of course, I'm not stupid. But what percentage, real percentage, and believe me, you can go online and find this, how many white people were killed by, how many unarmed white people were killed by cops, how many unarmed Hispanic people were killed by cops, Asian, black, how many cops were white, black, other, all that's on the internet. All you got to do is look it up. I hear it on the news all the time. It's anecdotal. You don't shut down the entire police department in a city, a small town, let alone New York City. Baltimore, the crime capital of the United States. Chicago, 18 murders in 24 hours. New York, running a very close second. And you're gonna defund the police and kind of, if we're having these many murders with police, what the fuck do you think's gonna happen once there is no police? If I were president of any era, I'm not talking about Trump, I'm talking about any president, and the mayors and the governors let that happen, it's like, and then when anarchy happened and they said, Mr. President, we need your help. Of course, I would be obligated to help, but not before I gave him a nice big I told you so, and they also said, by the way, you're done. Lifetime in politics. You are not allowed to run for office at any level ever again. You should not be in charge of public policy, social policy, politics, law enforcement, anything. You're done. You failed. You wouldn't keep your job anywhere else. If you failed at your job, and I'm not besmirching anyone who makes the fries at McDonald's. I love McDonald's fries, and someone's got to make them, and I appreciate that work. But if you fucked up that job, you're not going to keep that job. Why would you get to keep your job? So let's take a look at your resume. Oh, it says here you let out prisoners. Why did you do that? Well, I didn't want them to get sick. Yeah, but they're in prison. Why not just give them masks if you believe in masks so much? Oh, okay, so you let people riot to the point, protest to the point where it became riots and trillions of dollars worth of businesses and private homes and private property were destroyed, and thusly people were beaten, raped, and murdered, overtaking city blocks. The pollution, the blight, the disease, that was under your watch? Okay, let me just make another note here. Okay. After all that happened, you decided that, once again, the law-abiding citizens now have to go on punishment and stay inside? Okay. Okay. Oh, I see. So only white people have to wear masks, but black people don't. Why was that? Oh, because you thought they'd be profiled. Well, that's your ideology, not mine. Yeah, get out of my office. And no, we don't validate. That's the world right now. Everyone put their heads down. A few people, relatively speaking to the population, of course, got sick. A few people, relatively speaking to the total amount of not only crime against fellow man, but also police brutality. A few people were unjustly murdered by amateur police, so we all have to lose protection by all police. Lose our homes, businesses, quality of life, feeling of safety and peace, and a way to make a living. Question for the protesters and rioters specifically. How'd you get to your protest location? I'm curious. I'm just asking, by any chance, did you drive a Ford? Did you know Henry Ford was a massive anti-Semite? And he also employed a staff of investigators to police his workers' private lives. Now what political party does that sound like? But here's the thing. Henry Ford also put America on wheels and at the time empowered the country's workforce with the then livable $5-a-day factory wage. He championed the moving assembly line and was one of the first major manufacturers to offer black workers decent pay, which enticed millions of Southerners to head to the Midwest, reshaping the racial makeup of these states. That's common knowledge, but you can verify it in the latest issue of Car and Driver magazine or the internet. My point here is, listen carefully. When it comes to history, I prefer to learn from the bad and keep the good. Driving a Ford does not make you racist any more than not driving a Ford makes you woke. It's a fucking car. You think every product you use, even if it's organic or local or cruelty-free, that product doesn't have some amateur behind it in some way, shape, or form? Oh, it's farm to table? Now I'll sleep better because there's no amateur farmers out there that aren't dicks. Because my Big Mac was made by the Grand Wizard of the KKK. Make your life easier, amateurs. Go by how the people that surround you in everyday life, friends, family, co-workers, and yes, strangers, treat you. Not your past, not their past, not people you don't know and they don't know. No one can control the past, and certainly the past in areas where they are not. We took the good that came from these idiots like Henry Ford and their backwards thinking and got rid of the bad. But it seems like protesters just want to stick to the don't forget we used to suck and still do on some level. They are all about burning down the past, which won't change it. but have no detailed, thought-through plan for the future. And in the case of the United States right now, aftermath. Topic number three. Come on, you knew I was going to talk about this subject. Here comes another nominee for Amateur of the Year. How many times have you heard me say on this show, car folk is the best folk? And also, how many times have I told you that amateurs exist in every walk of life? All right, let's talk about Bubba Wallace, driver for NASCAR. Sorry, I get my attention whores mixed up. If you're a regular listener of this show, you know that I'm a car guy, and I love all things racing. I'm more of an NHRA and Formula One fan, but I love and respect all forms of racing. The men and women who drive race cars, motorcycles, I think they're superheroes. I can't think of a cooler job than writing down on your W-2 or your IRS forms, race car driver. Years ago, I was the host and comedian for SEMA, the Corporate Event Marketers Association, not to be confused with the Hot Rod Show that's in Vegas. These folks handle marketing for some of the biggest companies in the world. The four-day event ended with keynote speech from a spokesperson for NASCAR. This was, I'd say, 2002, 2005 in that area, because at the time, NASCAR was the highest-rated and highest-attended sport in the United States. And now from its height in 2005, NASCAR has lost over 50% of its audience at live events and online and on television. Now, admittedly, I don't follow NASCAR as much as I used to, and the ratings and attendance drops pre-pandemic tells me that the sport was seriously hurting to begin with. And while I, of course, knew of Bubba Wallace, I did have to look up his statistics, and here's just a few. He's been a professional driver for about 10 years in a variety of racing platforms, starting at age 16. 0 wins in the NASCAR Cup Series, 2 top 5 finishes, 6 top 10. And all of that is impressive, by the way. In the NASCAR Xfinity Series stats, no wins, 6 top 5s, 35 top 10s. And I'm not denigrating the fact that he hasn't won a major race. To me, if you're driving any race car in any category professionally, you've already won. Good for you. That's so cool. Racing in any form, especially drag racing and Formula One, drag racing most of all because it's such a short race, is a game of inches, consistency, and yes, a little luck. So many things come into play to win a simple drag race, for example. In no particular order, weather, staging, lane choice, the driver's mental state, the crew's skill level, sponsors, which mean better parts, pressure, experience, how fast you shift, traction, parts reliability, time of the day, and the list goes on. Professional race car drivers try to control all that which they can, and the rest is up to the universe. He did have 6 wins in the NASCAR Gander RV and Outdoors Truck Series, 15 top 5s, 28 top 10s. Now, there are tons more stats on Bubba Wallace's career, but that's not the point. He's clearly a professional race car driver. He made the cut. His win time is coming. And I mean, come on, he races for Richard Petty Motorsports. And even someone who is clueless about NASCAR knows the name Richard Petty. He's in an elite group. Too bad he did not act like it. If you haven't heard by now, he claims that a noose was found in his garage. Long story short, it turned out to be simply the garage pull to close the garage door. A few points here. A, he himself did not even discover the noose. B, 15 FBI agents cleared the incident of any racism. C, the FBI determined earlier this week that the noose, which was discovered in Wallace's garage on the evening of June 21st, had been there as early as October of 2019, and therefore could not have been meant as a racist gesture towards Wallace, the NASCAR Cup Series' only full-time African-American driver who has been assigned the garage stall only for last weekend's race. Wallace, who drives for Richard Petty Motorsports, has been a vocal supporter of the Black Lives Matter movement and was instrumental in NASCAR's recent decision to ban the Confederate flag at its events. Now that is a good thing. Well done, Bubba. And yet, very recently, Bubba Wallace, in an interview, said, "It was a noose. Everybody has seen the image now. So to say we would go back and do things differently, I don't think so. Maybe word things differently, yes, but I would launch an investigation." It wasn't a noose. It was a garage pull. But here's the important thing, amateurs. He got that precious attention. Why would it have been so hard for Bubba Wallace to say, "You know what? I did not even discover it, and it turned out not to be a noose, but a garage pull. I was wrong." Yeah, he'd lose some amateurs. Amateurs who probably never followed him or heard of him to begin with. But he would gain the respect of those who have a brain. And it would solidify his standing with his fellow racers, other drivers, and other sports. And the minds of people who understand common sense and, most importantly, humility. Something long gone in this amateur nation. He could have used his career to inspire other minorities and other black people to get into NASCAR, whether as a driver or a fan. Drag racing could be the most diverse sport in all of sports, and I know I mean this sincerely. Men, women, young, and old. Drivers in NHRA start at age 5. The oldest is 89, and he drives Top Fuel. Every race, hell, Don the Snake Prudhomme, a multiracial driver, paved the way for many drag racers. Formula One, hell, it's an international racing scene. Yes, it's wealthy people and wealthy race teams, but it's an international mixed-race crowd and field of drivers from countries all over the world. But instead, it's easier just to be known for falsely getting attention when he could have been an inspiration and a role model. But instead, he played the short game, the victim, when he really was not. He hurt himself, he hurt his team, he hurt his sponsors, and he hurt the sport. You'd think he would have learned from Jussie Smollett. Am I saying, is it Smollett or Smollett? Whatever, Jussie Smollett. No, I'm not saying he planted the pseudo-news, which turned out to be basically a pull for a garage door. And even if he didn't, it doesn't mean that the victim mentality and rush to get that attention, negative attention, where the ends justify the means, wasn't there. What's more, his fake news is a complete insult to any minority who has been a genuine recipient of racism and harassment, threats, and violence, the same as Jussie Smollett was shameful. Shameful. Amateurs always playing the short game instead of getting short-lived, illegal, improper, unnecessary attention. He could have been a long-term inspiration, like Don Prudhomme, Lewis Hamilton, Shirley Muldowney, Danica Patrick, and the myriad of other minority drivers and female drivers in the world of motorsports. Drag racing even has the women of power. My favorite, Leah Pruitt. You got Erica Enders, Angie Smith, Brittany Force, Courtney Force. I realize they're both retired, but they're going to come back. Angel Sempe. Hell, she was the winningest motorcycle driver of all time. Gianna Salinas is new to the sport. She's 21, short little Latin woman, and she won her first race in Pomona last year. I was there. Drag racing is the most diverse sport in the world, spanning age 5 to 89 years, from junior dragsters all the way to Top Fuel. Antron Brown, black man, 3-time world champ, Top Fuel driver, leads by example. I'd never suggest to any a driver or any race in any sport, you're getting well paid now, keep your head down and your mouth shut. No, no, not at all. Nonsense. But when something happens that involves race or, frankly, any controversy, wait, think, act. Not amateurs. Act now, deal with aftermath later. You know, I've been saying, you know, time now for 60 seconds, and sometimes I've moved it up to 120 seconds. Sometimes I fall under 60 seconds, so enough of that. 60 seconds is now called quickies, and who doesn't enjoy a good quickie now and then? Be careful, amateurs, in how you're labeling everything racist. You label everything racist, well, then we won't know what really is racist. If everything is a dog, how do we know what a dog is? It'll lose its power, and we won't even recognize it. You're sabotaging your own message. You know how you hear people about being born-again Christians, or maybe they go to prison and then they discover religion, or a new perspective, or an alcoholic or drug addict who has hit rock bottom, and then when they make some major life change after going through rehab and they get this source of inspiration? That's changing. That's waking up. I'm not saying you have to be in one of those situations, but people who claim they are woke are just saying, oh, yeah, now I'm woke. What happened? I just decided yesterday. I'm officially woke. Oh, okay. Was anyone asking for having Tag being taken to the ultimate level? Who asked for this TV show? You know, I've never had one good sweet potato French fry. They're always soggy and too thick. Ugh. For some reason, within twice in the last week, I have heard strangers refer to the outdoors as the out of doors. The hell is that? What are we doing here? It's the outdoors. Out of doors. A quick word about the rise in COVID cases in people 35 and under. Well, duh. For two reasons. One, more testing equals more results. And two, more amateurs that protested and rioted. Way to go, local officials in each state that allowed that to happen. All right, time now for three pro things. You know, I worry sometimes that people click off during the three pro things. I hope you stick around for the whole show, right? I mean, I always end on a positive note with three things that are done right. And I take a lot of care and time into those things as much as the topics for Amateur Nation. So here we go. Here's number one. Aunt Jemima. I'm not much of a pancake guy. I eat pancakes maybe three times a year. I like pancakes. So I did some digging and went directly to the source, auntjemima.com/our-history, and here's what I found. Aunt Jemima has a rich history spanning over 120 years. In 1889, Chris Rutt and Charles Underwood of the Pearl Milling Company developed Aunt Jemima, the world's first ready mix. In 1890, R.T. Davis purchases the Aunt Jemima Manufacturing Company. Aunt Jemima was first brought to life by Nancy Green, a storyteller, cook, and missionary worker. Sounds like a positive role model to me. In 1893, the world meets Aunt Jemima and her pancakes at the World's Fair in Chicago. Flash forward to 1926, the Quaker Oats Company purchases the Aunt Jemima Mills Company. In 1933, Anna Robinson portrays Aunt Jemima at the second Chicago World's Fair. She travels the country promoting Aunt Jemima and is able to make enough money to provide for her children and buy a 22-room house where she rents rooms to boarders. Sounds positive to me. 1955. From the mid-50s to the late 60s, actress Aileen, A-Y-L-E-N-E, Aileen, I don't think it's Eileen, Aileen Lewis portrayed Aunt Jemima at the Aunt Jemima restaurant in the then newly opened Disneyland. Disney! Wait, weren't there rumors, speculations, and or facts showing Walt Disney himself was a racist? Once again, keep the good, learn from the bad, but I digress. Let's skip ahead all the way to 1989. Aunt Jemima's image evolves to a contemporary look, adding pearl earrings and a lace collar. Nah, better safe than sorry. Complain about it, burn it down. Number two. I haven't had a whiskey pick for a while, so here comes another one. It's called the 10-Year Henry McKenna Single Barrel Kentucky Bourbon. I just finished a bottle off with some friends last week at my whiskey club in Calabasas, and boy, if you're a Kentucky bourbon lover, it is the stuff. Now, I've seen it for as low as $100 a bottle, so if you have a special occasion coming up, like you saw someone driving without a mask like an amateur, or you made it a whole day without being told where to stand or that you're infectious and racist, oh, then it's totally worth it. The description is this. There is a peppery pinch to the spicy nose, which fits perfectly with the dark, brooding nature of the beast. It's whatever, man. The slightly singed toast acts as a perfect counter to the mint and orange rind. Really complex and tempting. They describe the taste as a deep satin oak finish, and a burnt sugar backdrop allows the malt and rye to have a big say. Lots of vanilla, too. And it finishes as it dries. The corn comes into dominance. Some vanilla toffee, too. You know, I read that description, and as pretentious as that sounds, it's pretty accurate. However, I did not get the toffee note, because I know this. You know why? Because I don't like toffee. I would have noticed that. But I recommend it. It's called Henry McKenna Single Barrel Kentucky Bourbon. It's a 10-year bourbon, and it is good. Number three. All right, first we talked about Bubba Wallace. Let me drop this on you. NASCAR driver gives police their due, debuts new hashtag back the blue car. From the website themix.net, Kyle Weatherman drove a Chevy Camaro emblazoned with the hashtag back the blue to honor police at Saturday's NASCAR race in Southern Florida. NASCAR driver Kyle Weatherman has decided to support police officers in a way that will have fans cheering. Days after Bubba Wallace raced a Black Lives Matter car, the Xfinity Series driver decided to drive a car that sported a flag with a thin blue line on the hood and reads hashtag back the blue on the side. NASCAR fans are very patriotic, they stand for the anthem, and they love America. They also recognized how indebted we are as a society to our veterans and first responders. Police are under attack with calls for police departments to be defunded and in some case eliminated. That's why this means so much. Have you told at least one person about the show? Are you subscribing to the show? You should. It's free, and it's on 14 platforms. Amateur Nation is the podcast the world needs. It's not just a podcast, it's a movement. So go to Amazon to download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills, or just go to lucyantini.com where you can find all my social media and email me from there. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. See you next week.